Hey guys, welcome to Excess tonight. It's so great to have you here. Woo! All right, so my name is Jasmine and I'm going to be bringing the message tonight. But I thought because it's not often me who's up the front that I better start by introducing myself a little bit, a few fun facts about me. So I am married to your incredible youth coordinator, Matt Peters. So I think that's worth applauding. So come January, we will have been married for 3 years, which is pretty exciting. So much applause, I love it. I work during the week as an occupational therapist, and if you're thinking to yourself... If you're thinking to yourself, what in the world is that? You're not alone. That's the most common response I do get when I tell people what I do for work. So for me, it means that I work with children and teenagers with autism or other developmental delays, supporting them to develop and learn skills that they're struggling with. So that's what I do Monday to Friday. And then... Come Friday night, I'm here at Excess. I'm one of the Year 8 Girls Small Group Leaders, so shout out to you girls. So I have actually been coming to Excess since I was in Year 7. So term 4 of Year 7, like some of you are now. And so it actually means that I've been coming to Excess for just over 14 years, which is pretty crazy to think about when some of you aren't even 14 yet. So yeah, I wanted to find a photo of me in like Year 8 or 9 or something at Excess, but I couldn't find anything not too embarrassing that far back. So I thought I'd show you this one. So this was from when I was in Year 11 on an Easter camp. So that's me in the middle and one of my best friends to my left and now my best friend to my right, which is Matt. Pretty cute. He was, yeah, just coming out of the cricket season, so very tanned, having been in the sun a lot over the summer. But I just thought I'd give you that little flashback to us as little youth. So I, like I said, been coming to Excess since I was in high school, 14 years. I absolutely love being here on a Friday night, and Excess was such a big part of my faith journey, and I'm still here because I want other people to come to know God and have a relationship with Him like this ministry helped me to do as well. So I thought before I bring the message tonight, I'm going to pray, because what better way to start? Dear God, I thank you that we can be together tonight. I thank you so much for the way that you have been at work here at Excess over this year and term. And I pray that you will continue to stir something in our hearts tonight. I want to thank you for this message that you have placed on my heart. And I really pray that it's only your words that are spoken and heard tonight. We thank you and praise you for who you are. Amen. I wonder if you have ever felt underestimated, ever felt unappreciated or not valued for who you are, and especially by those that are closest to you. Tonight we're going to hear about a story in the Bible about a young man named David who experienced some of these struggles for himself. So you might have heard of David in the Bible. He's quite famous for the story of David and Goliath. So he was a young man who took some food to his brothers who were in the war. And when he arrived there, there was this giant Philistine man named Goliath who was taunting the army. No one wanted to take him on because he was pretty big and scary. But David rocks up and is kind of like, why isn't anyone doing anything about this? We've got God on our side. So David, who's not even in the army, wants to take on this giant Goliath. And he actually ended up killing him with one rock and a sling. And that was it. So that's pretty much his claim to fame, which I think is a pretty good claim to fame. So that's David. He also is thought to have written a lot of the Psalms that are found in the book of Psalms in the Bible. And he later also became known as one of the greatest kings of Israel. So the passage we're going to look at tonight is found in a book of the Bible called 1 Samuel. Matt shared a bit about another story from 1 Samuel last week. So it's about a young man named Samuel, hence the book of 1 Samuel. And he, as a young man, heard from God. So as he continued growing up, he continued to be quite in tune with what God was saying and telling him. So Samuel was the man that appointed the first king of Israel, which is God's people, and his name was Saul. So Saul was the first king, but while he was the king, it came to be that he sinned against God, and it says that God rejected him as the king. So because of this, God's people needed a new king. So God spoke to Samuel and told him about where he should go to find this young man who was going to be named the next king of Israel. So this is where we meet David for the first time. Our story picks up with Samuel going to Jesse's house to meet some of his sons. So we're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen him. The Lord has not chosen these." Now, I can imagine at this point in time, Samuel may be thinking to himself, "God, are you sure I'm at the right place? There's been seven people pass in front of him, and yet none of these have been the one that God wanted him to anoint as the next king." So we'll read on. So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. I feel that there is a lot that we can take from this passage, but tonight I'm going to pick up on three key points. So the first comes from verse 7 of the passage that we've just read. So verse 7 says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So my first point tonight is this: people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God looked at David and saw him as worthy of being the next king, not based on physical appearance, but rather on his heart. It says in the Bible that Saul, the current king, was as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anyone else. He was the type of person that looked like a leader and that people wanted to have as their king. Well, later, it does say that David had handsome features and a fine appearance. This isn't quite the same level of compliment as what's given to Saul and his appearance. It's a bit more like saying that David was a nice-looking boy rather than a strong and powerful-looking leader. I don't know who needs to hear this tonight, but your heart and your character are so much more important than your outward appearance. We live in a day and age where we are bombarded with images of people all over social media. And I think this makes it so easy to play the comparison game. It's the game that goes, "Oh, she's so skinny, I'm never going to look like her." Or, "Oh, he can grow some serious facial hair, I can only get these little patchy bits or a little dirty mo. I wish my hair was straight like hers. I wish my hair was curly like hers. Oh, I work out every day, but yet his legs are looking so much stronger than mine." It can go on and on and on. And while society can try and tell us so many lies about what we're supposed to look like and that our appearance determines our worth, the truth is that God created you just the way you are. And it says in the Bible that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, while God created you to have the body shape, hair colour, hairstyle, eye colour, birthmarks, even the freckles that you have, and he does think you're beautiful, he cares so much more about what is on the inside. God is more focused on our hearts and how we go about our day-to-day lives than he is on our outward appearance. God didn't choose David to become the next king of Israel because he was the biggest or strongest or most attractive. God chose David to be the next king because he had his heart and mind fixed on God and God alone. David is known throughout the Bible as being a man after God's own heart. He was humble, respectful, trusting. He was devoted to God, obedient and faithful. God knew that David would make a good king, not because he looked the part, but because he had a relationship with him. I wonder, have you been caught up worrying about your outward appearance or worldly things rather than fixing your eyes on God? Should you be taking more time to focus on developing your character than worrying about your appearance? Do you judge people's worth based on how they look rather than getting to know them and their hearts first? I challenge you to consider these questions tonight. We are worth so much more than our outward appearances. So, my first point, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The second key point we're going to pick up tonight is this, that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I find it so interesting that when Jesse was told to present his sons to Samuel, that David didn't even get the call up. He was still out watching the sheep, which was actually typically a job for servants in those days. While God had chosen him to be the king, his own family didn't think it was worth getting him to come and meet Samuel. Now, I have spent a fair bit of time with Matt and his brothers Josh and Ben over the years, and it's definitely safe to say that while they all love each other very much, there's a lot of sibling rivalry that goes on. I think every family dinner, there's an argument over who weighs the most and that person gets bragging rights. There was always an argument over who was going to be the tallest. There's arguments over who's best at what Wii games. Like, literally everything becomes a competition. And because of this, I can just imagine what it would have been like being in Jesse's house that day. I can picture David's brothers puffing up their chests, thinking, oh, of course it's me that's going to be named the next king. Then they might have felt a little bit embarrassed as Samuel said, no, it's not this one. And then I think they might have all had a quiet laugh to themselves when Samuel said that he wanted to meet David, who was thought to have been somewhere between the age of 10 and 15 at the time. I can imagine them rolling their eyes, thinking about their little brother, like, oh, don't worry about meeting him. He's not going to be the king. But can you imagine the brother's shock when it was actually David, their little brother, that was told he was going to be the next king? I feel like they would have given him a pretty hard time and tried not letting him get too far ahead of himself. And I can only imagine the next few years of David's life with seven older brothers giving him a pretty hard time about supposedly going to be the king one day. I feel like David probably would have copped some negativity from his brothers about this. But regardless, he continued to live his life, be a part of the family, spend time with God, and his character and skills actually led to him serving King Saul and eventually becoming the king of Israel. I absolutely love how God uses people that from the outside, others perceive as the most unlikely. He chose David, that was the youngest of seven brothers, and then he also used David again to kill Goliath, like I spoke about before. God chose Abraham and Sarah, an old wrinkly couple who hadn't been able to have children, and he used them, he gave them a son, who then that led to the family line of Jesus. God also chose Rahab, who was actually a prostitute, and she saved some Israelite men, which saved her family from being killed, and then she also led into the family line of Jesus. God chose Mary, a teenage virgin, to carry his son and give birth to him into the world. He used a little boy and his lunch to feed a crowd of more than 5,000 people. There are countless examples in the Bible and throughout history of how God has been able to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I wonder if you feel like you're a nobody, that you're not as cool or clever or talented as those around you. I wonder if you feel as though you don't know why God would ever choose to work with you when there are more obvious choices around. If this is you and you've been feeling this way, know that God has a habit of using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's what he does. We might feel like we have nothing to offer him, but he takes our faithfulness and our willingness to say yes and do great things with this. He loves his children and he wants to partner with us to partner in the work that he is doing. If you feel like you're just an ordinary person who isn't valued by others, I want you to know tonight that God values you and that God loves you. Just like David, who wasn't thought worthy by his family, God sees you and he wants to work with you. So, point one, people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And point two was that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. My third and final point for tonight is this, that God uses the shepherd times to prepare us for the king times. And I'm aware this isn't like a great English sentence, but we're just going to roll with it for tonight. So we read in the Bible that David was the shepherd of the family. It's likely that through being the shepherd, this helped David to grow in his faith and his heart for God. And doing this job shaped him into the person that he was. Looking after the sheep meant David had a lot of time to think and to be in God's creation. He was able to use this time to be with God, building a relationship with him. It was through spending time with God while watching the sheep that prepared David for continuing to have a relationship with God once he was the king, helping him be the great king that he was. Being a shepherd also meant that he had a heart that cared for the sheep and looked after them as they needed looking after. And helping develop this also gave David a heart for caring for people, which he needed when he became the king. Through being a shepherd, David also had to trust God in dangerous times. There would have been lions and wolves that David had to contend with while watching the sheep. Through facing these animals, David would have learned how to trust in God in all circumstances and how to rely on him, also helping him become the great leader that he was. During times we feel like we're in the low places, that our worth isn't seen, that we're not valued by others, this is when God can still use us. It's through these times we can develop character and habits that shape us and our hearts. I believe God has called us to be faithful in the small things, like watching the sheep, and that like David, through these times, he is providing us with training for the future and what he has in store for us. If you're feeling like you're just out watching the sheep, that you're not doing anything important, or that you're in a season of waiting, know that God can use these times too. You may be struggling with sickness or injury. You might be feeling really isolated or lonely. Maybe you've been praying for something for ages without seeing any signs of that prayer being answered. It's in these times too that we learn how to rely on God, how to trust him more, and how to have a relationship with him. And it's through these times too that we may be learning skills or developing strategies to face things in our future. If David hadn't had practice using a sling to kill lions or wolves attacking his sheep, he wouldn't have known how to use a sling to kill Goliath and defeat the Philistine army. I want you to know tonight that whatever situation you are in at the moment, that God can use these times to prepare your heart, your skills, and your spiritual habits. He uses these shepherd times to prepare us for the king times. So, what does this all mean for you? I think the key message we can pull out from this story of David and these three key points is this, that despite who you are and what you're going through, God loves you and he wants to partner with you in the work that he is doing. God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. He really does use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for who you are and how much that you love us. We thank you for the story of David and how we can see parts of our own lives and situations reflected in this. I thank you that you look so much deeper than our outward appearances and that you love us and value us for our hearts. I pray that when we feel ourselves falling into the trap of comparison or we get caught up on our appearance, that you will remind us instead to focus on you and remind us that that is so much more important. God, we thank you that you use ordinary people to do extraordinary things, that we don't need to be the best or the most special to be seen or valued by you, God. I thank you that you see us for who we are and you see our true value. And God, thank you that in the times we're doing the mundane, when we feel like our value isn't seen by others, or when we feel like we're struggling, that we can know that you see us and that you love us and that you're at work in these times too. I pray that you will remind us of these key three things this week. We thank you and praise you, God. Amen.